Hey, good morning, and welcome to another week of Being an Influence. I'm Matt. This is Matt. I'm Julie. We're the senior pastors of Go Church Beirut.
Honest.
We're so happy to have you with us this morning. Welcome to our home.
Yeah.
We decided that we would bring you into our home, have coffee with you, and then talk about being an influence in your world, in your family, what's influencing you, and how you can be an influence, not just in your life, but in your church, and how the church can together be an influence.
And we have three dogs.
Yes, we do.
So at some point, you may see or hear them.
So.
So apologies. But they're a great influence on
us. Yes, they bring us great joy.
They do.
Except for when they're chewing on a shoe. They bring us great joy. So why don't I just hop right in, because we are on purpose making these not so long as what you're used to, but to make these kind of shorter and to pack a punch, because it's August and everyone's out having a great time at the beach, and we want to be a part of your week, but we don't want to take over your week.
Well, we're also mindful there's a lot of things happening at Go Church this month.
Yes.
If you want to know more about those things, then contact us.
Right. All right, so why don't I just jump right in and read our purpose statement for
yes.
the month for the influence message. So we want the Go Church family to know that they were designed for influence.
Designed for
influence. Right, designed for influence. We live in a world of many voices and influences, and we must continually learn both to be influenced by the right ones and also to take our place as people who have a God-given ability to influence others. Not only do we carry influences as individuals, but together as the church, we're given the highest level of influence in the world.
That's exactly right.
Right.
And, you know, we've been talking about what influences us.
Right.
But now I want us to consider the mission and yeah. commission that we have to be an influence.
That's right.
And Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 5.
Right.
And let's actually look at two verses of scripture. One, let's look at our key scripture
okay.
in Ephesians chapter 3. Julie, will you read our key scripture?
Yeah. So Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. I'll say it again because I know sometimes it takes me a minute to find it. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. In the New King James Version, it says, "To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given to me, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see, influence to others, what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places."
It is God's plan that
yeah.
the church be the influence
right.
in the world.
Right. That's right.
The seen and unseen, the created world.
Right.
The church is God's plan.
Right.
And influence is God's plan. We are designed to be influencers.
To be influencers. Yeah, that's right.
And this, you know, I want us to look at the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to read this, but I want to read it in the context of the subject, influence. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again?" What's the answer to that? The answer to that is it can't be.
That's right.
You can't make salt salty.
That's right. And if you're looking for this is verse 13.
Verse 13, yeah.
yeah.
So can it be made salty again? "It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out
yeah.
and trampled underfoot by men."
That's right.
So Jesus said, "You're the salt." So he's saying that to me and you.
Right.
To you.
Right.
We're salt in the earth. But salt, if it becomes tasteless, mm-hmm. it becomes useless.
Yeah, that's right.
So salt should be an influence, mm-hmm. right? In right. food,
right? Right?
Salt mm-hmm. is curative. Salt mm-hmm. is
healing.
It can be preserving,
right?
You know? But it also enhances mm-hmm. flavor. Yeah. Cooks, you know, chefs will say adding salt to something doesn't make it salty. It makes everything taste brighter.
Yeah, it increases the flavor of everything flavor. Else. Yeah.
So salt has many uses. Well, in Jesus used that as a picture of what you and I are supposed to be doing to the people, to the world around us.
Right.
And he says it right there. If we're not influencing those around us, mm-hmm. then we're not being useful.
Right.
That's strong.
That's very strong.
Right?
It makes you do a quick evaluation.
Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden.
Right.
Okay. And now that's, especially in the first century world,
right.
If you're a far off outside of a city at night mm-hmm. and you look and you see you can see clearly that there's a city up there. You can't mm-hmm. hide it.
Right.
So a city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor, verse 15, nor does anyone light a lamp mm-hmm. and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the
yeah.
house.
Yeah.
How foolish yeah. would that be?
Right.
If you light a candle.
Right.
If you do this around me, you'll I would have a lot to say. But if you light a candle and you put it underneath a basket, what are you doing?
Right.
One, it's going to burn up all the oxygen under the basket if yeah. it's airtight.
And it'll go out.
Two, you've created a massive fire hazard.
Right.
And, but it's missing the point. The point is the lamp is not the lamp for itself. The lamp is to give light to
others.
That's
right. Praise the Lord. That influence.
Yeah.
That influence on others.
We're designed to influence others. Its influence is not just the purpose of our series. Influence is the purpose that right. Jesus has kept us in the earth.
Right. Right. And he continues and says in verse 16, to let your light shine before men that they would see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Praise the Lord.
We're to do this individually and we're to do this corporately. We'll look at the corporate side
next week.
Yeah. But individually, like Romans 5 says that we are to rule and reign in life.
Right.
Rule and reign as a king. Mm-hmm. Romans 5:17, reign as a king. How much influence does a king have? Well, if a king is saying something in their kingdom and no one is listening to it, there's a problem
right.
in that kingdom.
Right. But if a king says something, he doesn't just get up and go and then do it himself.
No, he rules by his words right. because his words have influence.
Right.
And I would challenge all of us to consider that. Like, how influential are our words today
yeah.
with the people around us? And what we might find is the answer is not very.
Right.
And if the answer is not very, why is that?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's because today I say one thing, tomorrow I say something else.
Mm-hmm.
One day I'm up.
The next day.
Next day, yeah. The whole world is against me. So being a person of influence means being a person of consistency.
Yeah.
Salt is consistent.
Right.
A lamp is consistent.
Right.
It's always giving taste. It's always giving light. Being consistent is really the first step in being a person of influence.
Yeah.
The Bible is full of examples of people of influence.
Yeah,
in our grow groups, we're going to discuss different persons or people of influence, but there's several we can choose from.
Yeah.
One of the most significant to me is Daniel.
Yeah.
Because Daniel lived as a refugee in a different land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was taken as a young man, as a teenager, he was taken from his home, from his family, to a land where they didn't speak the same language, mm-hmm. they didn't worship the same God, they lived a totally different style of life. And in that foreign land, Daniel thrived.
Right.
And Daniel became a person of influence. Daniel influenced, you can study this for yourself, Daniel influenced the accepted religions in the nation. Daniel influenced the leader of the nation.
Yeah.
Daniel influenced the laws and the way the laws were applied in the nation that he lived in. And Daniel did all of that by being a consistent doer of the word of God that he knew. Like, he knew, I'm supposed to follow this Old Testament law of Moses and live in covenant with God regardless of what's happening around me. And that consistency produced an influence that didn't just influence Daniel's home, but Daniel's nation,
right.
and even the ruler of that nation.
Right.
That's influence.
That's amazing.
But it started with being a consistent doer of the word.
Right.
And, you know, if we took the time to kind of go through the biblical record of Daniel, this would be a 3-hour podcast.
Right.
We said at the beginning,
I could sit here like this listening.
We said at the beginning, we don't want to do that, but I want to encourage you, study that for yourself. Joseph, not our Joseph,
right.
Joseph in the book of Genesis is the same.
Yeah.
Joseph found himself in a pit.
Yeah. Yeah, he was taken into slavery.
And so what was a loving family became like a tragedy.
Right.
And he found himself thrown into a pit.
Yeah.
Then sold into slavery.
Right.
And in slavery, he became so influential that the person that owned him put him in charge of everything that he owned. And in that life, you know, circumstances turned against him. And he found himself in prison, unjustly accused, wrongly accused. And even so, he became such a positive influence that he actually became, even though he was an inmate, he became the kind of administrator,
right,
of this jail. And that that actually put him in a place where the Pharaoh of Egypt called him out of prison, mm-hmm. and put him in charge of the world economy.
Right.
If you read it in Genesis,
yeah,
from like
really
a Sunday, from a Sunday school perspective, you just think, okay, he got a job to do from the Pharaoh,
yeah.
but
yeah.
The Pharaonic kingdom at that time controlled like the inhabited world.
Yeah, and what he was put in control of impacted the entire world.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He was responsible for whether everyone would live or die.
And it influenced what was the line of the Messiah to come and mm-hmm. the promise of God.
Right.
He had a direct impact on the plan of God in his generation.
Yeah, and through the influence that he had, it brought reconciliation to his whole family.
That's right.
You know, that restoration, the separation that happened in the beginning of the story, that's not how it finished.
Obviously, another influence we see in the New Testament is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul started, we find him in the book of Acts,
mm-hmm.
persecuting the church, terribly persecuting the church, and creating havoc in the early church. However, Paul became really the most used man in his generation.
Right.
As measured by the epistles that he wrote that became really make up two-thirds of the New Testament.
Yes.
So no matter how little influence perhaps you've had on others up to now, that can change. And Paul is a great example of that.
Right.
Another example that I want us to look at in our grow groups is Esther.
Right.
Because Esther is a beautiful picture of influence and how God can use someone who I think Esther would have considered herself the least likely person.
Right.
To be an influence.
For sure.
And the Lord took what she had and made it into something that influenced the king.
Right.
And the nation.
Right.
For the plan of God.
Right.
And my encouragement to you is come to the Grow Group and let's look at these examples of ordinary people that did extraordinary things by being consistent in putting the Word of God into practice.
Yeah.
Part of being an influence on others is being consistent.
Right.
And consistency is a fruit of the Spirit. Consistency is something that we need to all grow and develop in. And it will literally turn up the volume of our voice in the life of others.
Yeah. You know, like Esther, this is the moment that you were created for.
Yeah. That's probably the most quoted verse from the book of Esther, for such a time as this. You have come to the kingdom for such a time as this.
Yeah.
And we'll dig into that in our Grow Group. Being an influence, I want to finish by saying this. You can be used by God.
Yeah.
I had that question once. Someone asked me, they said, could Jesus use me?
Right.
And the answer to that question is yes.
Yes.
Jesus can and wants to use you. And what he wants to do is he wants to shine a light, his light, through you.
Right.
And be an influence on everyone around you.
Yeah, an influence in your families.
Yes.
An influence in your church community. An influence in the world.
That's right. And as we bring this to a close, I want to just encourage you. The past is just that.
That's
past.
Right.
Your answers are not behind you.
Yeah.
Saul of Tarsus shows that.
That's right.
What I want to say to you is the Lord can and wants to use you to be an influence, like Julie said, in your family, in your community, and in your church.
Yeah.
And if you say, well, I'm watching this, but I'm not really part of a church, what I would tell you is don't let an excuse keep you out of God's plan for your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of people can come up with excuses of, I'm not part of a church because of this. I'm not part of a church because of that. Don't let an excuse keep you out of God's plan for your life.
That's right.
A church is a place that should challenge you to change, not a place where you find perfect people. And in being challenged to change, what I want to do is encourage you to become consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And by being consistent, consistently applying God's word to your life, it'll increase the volume of your voice in the ears of those around you so that you can be an influence for Christ to them. If you made it this far in the day, no one else is telling you. I want you to know that. We love you. We'll pray. God bless you.